This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of game week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice-cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
Hello and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Josh and I'm here with Brandon. How are you, Brandon?
I'm great. I'm going a little stir crazy without the Premier League. I have to be honest with you.
Did you watch any games this weekend?
No, I was telling you offline. Actually, all the soccer I watch typically during FA Cup breaks or breaks such as what we had are by way of Twitter and animated GIFs. Mm-hmm. I'm a classic cord cutter. I don't have a premium sports package. I get all the Premier League games, but when
through,
it comes
through
to
your dad,
yeah, thanks, Dad, if you're listening, love you, Pop. So, I didn't actually watch much, though. I did follow the results intently. I was happy to see my main man Dimitri Payet out there with the scorched earth policy against Blackburn Rovers.
Yeah, I was excited to see that too, especially as someone who's considering making a bit of a risky captain gamble this game week. To see him play so well,
Tell me more, Josh.
Well, I mean, it seems like, you know, as was discussed in last week's podcast, my season has gone totally to the dogs. Uh-huh. Even though I actually have had a green arrow in five of the last game weeks, I'm just not up as far as I want to be. And everyone and their mother is captaining Jamie Vardy this game week. So I just feel like maybe Mahrez or Payet are the two players I'm leaning towards. Possibly even Harry Kane, although now that he has a broken nose, I'm not sure if I'm quite as confident about that.
Well, a broken nose was a bit of a good luck charm for Diego Costa. I feel like he's been playing pretty well since he donned the mask.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, by the end of the season, it feels like one-third of the league is going to be wearing one of those like plastic protective masks.
Somebody had to point this out on the Transfer Hub forum, that Harry Kane is a bit of a mouth breather anyway, so a broken nose might not impact his game terribly.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. So we know that a few teams that would have maybe been expected to win, like Tottenham, did not win. Man City, Tottenham lost, Crystal Palace won. Man City defeated themselves when they played Chelsea.
Refused to field a team.
Exactly. They basically refused to field a team. Well, Pellegrini is basically in like, I don't care about anything mode anymore. Like, they fired me and I still have to coach this team.
Yeah. Has anybody out there started an emo Pellegrini Twitter feed yet? Because I feel like we're ready for that.
We really are. So a lot of people know that there's this looming game week 30 where a ton of teams will not be playing. And that number could actually get a little bit higher depending on whether or not Arsenal beats Hull away when they play the replay. But I think that's a week and a half or so from now. So just to briefly, and we'll talk a bit more about this in the subsequent podcast because we're still a few weeks away, and game week 27 is pretty tricky in and of itself. But just so you know, Brandon,
talk to me, Josh. What's happening?
I'll talk to you. Yeah.
Ignore all the people listening out there to the Always Cheating Pod. It's just you and me, my friend.
It's just the two of us. So the teams, Brandon, that aren't playing this in game week 30, just to run through them quickly: Chelsea, Crystal Palace, Everton, Liverpool, Man United, Sunderland, Watford, and West Ham. And if Arsenal wins, you can add Arsenal and West Brom to that too. I honestly can't remember a game week in all the years I've been doing this where you might only have five games in the full game. Can you remember that? That seems very low to me, and I'm not sure if that speaks to
how few teams there are in the Premier League these days.
Yeah, and it must be a thing where those games are definitely not working, because I know that if there must be Champions League games at midweek. And I know that if there are Champions League fixtures, that you can't play replays during that time. So those are pretty much definite off for game week 30. So we're looking at a ton of makeup games that are going to be played from game week 31 to game week 38. And it'd be very interesting, you know, not something to talk about in this podcast necessarily, but just something to keep in mind as you're planning your transfers. You know, go to Fantasy Football Scout where you can get their season ticker, or even just on the main Fantasy Football webpage, the Premier League webpage. You can see who is not playing a game week 30, and just sort of keep that in the back of your head as you're making transfers the next few game weeks.
This home stretch for the FPL is going to be absolutely bananas. It is going to be as bananas as the league itself. We have yet to have a double game week. They're all going to be stacked in the final third of the season.
I know.
As we'll actually see when we go over our much lauded two-thirds season awards, everyone has so many of their chips left to play as well.
I'm really hoping that a Premier League team wins. It's probably not going to happen in the Champions League, but the Premier League team wins in the Europa League, because I love when a Premier League team
plays. Are you
worried
about the coefficient?
I'm not that worried about the coefficient, to be honest. I mean, I worry about it a little bit. It's kind of a dumb thing to worry about, and it's also totally overblown. The Premier League teams have actually scored more points than the Italian teams this year. So unless Juventus goes in some crazy run, it's really probably not going to be an issue. Yeah. But I was actually thinking that what I like is when the UEFA Super Cup, and that's when the winner of the Champions League and the winner of the Europa League play each other, and that's usually on a weekend, like early in the fall. And so Chelsea played in that 2 weeks, 2 years in a row, and in both years that meant that there was a double game week, like in the first few weeks of the season. And
right,
that,
yes.
And that is awesome. Like
that's Ivanovic time.
I wish there were I love double game weeks. Who doesn't love double game weeks? They're the best. And we've never had to wait this long for double game week. I am like chomping at the bit for double game week.
Yeah,
it's
we're
also
ready.
It's a great way to make up ground. I mean, you know, a well played double game week, you can make up, like, especially now with chips. Yeah. I mean, you could make up 80 points in your league with a well played double game week. You know, it could be huge swings are going to happen. But in some ways, I feel like the chips haven't even come to full glory. I'm actually going to get to this in a second when you look at our poll, or the results of our two-third season awards. But most people haven't played the biggest chips. And, you know, I mean, triple captains and bench boosts when you've played a late wild card. I mean, that stuff is going to get wild. And
it's all on the table, man.
It really is. So I've kind of given up on winning my personal league. And I'm about a million points behind in the Hail Cheater Super League. So I'll just take anything.
And I'm completely crushing you in our head-to-head competition.
It's all gone to the dogs, but that's all right.
You did try to concede at the bar when we were watching Man City Tottenham, and I have yet to accept your concession.
You were so mad. You were so mad at me for saying
that. I've seen you do it before, Josh. You're so magnanimous. Mm-hmm. I'm not ready to hear it.
You know, because you know it's false magnanimity.
I also know that frankly, you could still win. I'm a little fearful of that.
Yeah, unlikely, but possible, I suppose. All right, so Brandon, we had our second Always Cheating Awards. Season's so long, we didn't want to do mid-season. We thought we'd do third seasons. So we had our two-thirds season award. We put the poll up on our website and got a great response.
People came out to rock the vote.
People came out. We got about 300 total responses. And this time, unlike last time where I had to do everything by hand, we found a survey site that we were able to embed on our webpage and post all the and you know, gather all the results. And we have a post that's going up once this podcast goes up, where you can take a look yourself and you can look at all the responses and the pie charts and You can see what people said. It's fun to look at because you can, as we'll get to in a minute, you can see the answers to the questions. But it's also pretty informative because you see the responses to how many people have played their second half wild card, how many people have played their triple captain. And I feel like the kind of people who would take the time to fill out a poll like this are the kind of people who are taking the game pretty seriously. And so it's representative of the kind of people you're going to have to beat this year to climb up into the top 10K or whatever.
And us putting all this data up on alwayscheating.com on our blog, it's very much like you're watching a cooking show and you can't quite follow the recipe, but you do know that they put the recipe up on the website.
That's right.
So, if you're listening, as we start talking nonsense and making terrible jokes, you can always just go to alwayscheating.com to get the answers.
Exactly. And listen along as we go. All right. So, Brandon, are you ready to look at this poll?
I'm ready.
I shouldn't call it a poll. For one thing, it's not a poll; it's a survey, and it's not even a survey. It's our awards ceremony, voted on by Joe listener or Jane listener.
Joe or Jane listener. Yeah, hail cheaters! We'll say that as we jump into it. Yeah, so take us to the first award, which is the big one.
The big one, yes. We had 12. We had 12 questions total, and let's go in reverse order just to build up some excitement here. Most valuable player at the 2/3 season mark. All right, five. There were five possible.
So let me get this straight. We're looking at all the way through game week 27, right? 26.
26. Yep.
Who's been the best dude?
All right. Well, let's build our way up here. So the response is very little. Like not everyone responded to every question. So this one got 283 responses. In fifth place with zero votes was Romelu Lukaku.
Zero. That's
zero.
I think his reputation precedes him. His troll reputation.
I suppose that's probably
the fact that he's tailed off a little bit in the last couple of weeks.
Quite a lot the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And I suppose most football players open to interpretation. I mean, you could argue that someone like the person who finished fourth out of this poll, Odin Ighalo, who only picked up 6 votes and 2% of the vote. I look at someone like Ighalo and I think, well, he could be considered the most valuable player because he was a differential for a long time, still kind of is, came out of the woodwork. So if you were trying to, because within like 3 or 4 weeks, basically everyone had Riyad Mahrez.
It's a little context dependent. Like maybe on your team, Big Rom was the man.
So,
but clearly not. Can we even have a quorum if he got 0 votes?
I don't know. He doesn't have any like color in the chart.
We could have to scrap this whole survey.
So he got zero. Yep. Fourth was Odin Ighalo with 6 votes and only 2% of the vote. So poor Ighalo, but you just. There's some stronger candidates this year. So in third place was Mesut Ozil, who only picked up 4% of the vote. I thought at least some Arsenal fans would chime in there. He picked up 10 total votes. So first and second. So with 94% of the vote, the players who finished first and second were from the same team. Now, can you name those players, Brandon?
I'm going to go with Jonas Olsen and Gareth McCauley from West Brom. Brom.
You've got it. A lot of recency there, I think, because of Osen's goal, a couple weeks
ago. A little bit. That's the Pulis effect for you. That's happening.
Yeah. No, I'm kidding, of course. The first and second went to second place with 16% of the vote, 45 votes. Jamie Vardy, 19 goals, 5 assists, 25 bonus points. And in first place, Riyad Mahrez, 14 goals, 10 assists, 32 bonus points, picked up 222 votes, 78% of the total vote. Congratulations to you, Riyad Mahrez.
Yeah, well done, Mahrez, taking home the big Best Picture award. And I mean, it makes perfect sense.
It does.
And I think Mahrez definitely benefits from taking all those penalties early in the season. And his midfielder status, ratchets up the points he's bringing in week to week. Yeah. We'll get to this when we talk about who is actually going to be the point leader at the end of the season.
Yeah.
But it'll be curious to see how Jamie Vardy being on penalties now might impact how their FPL roles.
That's an interesting thought. I also think if we do this at the end of the season, which I expect we will, I might phrase it as who was your most valuable player this season?
Yeah, right.
Maybe list a few more options than just these five. All right. So least valuable player at the 2/3 season mark. A little more variety here. Everyone got a vote. So tied. So there are five options once again. Tied for fourth were Theo Walcott, who picked up 3 votes and 1%, and Saito Berahino, who also picked up 3 votes and 1%. Now, what interests me about Saito Berahino, Brandon, and he, I think he's been disappointing just because I think everyone thought that. Well, first of all, it kind of started with disappointment because we were all sort of hoping that he would go to Tottenham, or at least many of us, those of us who aren't West Brom fans, were kind of curious about what it might be like if he was on that team.
Yeah.
So he has 3 goals in the season, 0 bonus points or 0 assists, but he has 8 bonus points, which is very high for him. That's the most of anyone in this list.
It is incredible. I mean, you just compare him to Theo Walcott, 4 goals, 3 assists, 0 BPs.
I know. Exactly. Theo Walcott. Yeah. So Walcott has more goals and more assists and less bonus points. I think it speaks to Arsenal's attack. I mean, if Saito Berahino scoring a goal, it's often the only goal for West Brom. So
yeah. Walcott has to be a slightly bigger disappointment given his price tag compared to Berahino's.
Did he start at 9.0, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, and he started in all of our squads in game week one. I think we probably all captained him to begin with.
I know. I feel like I lost. I hung on to him longer than I should have. I feel like I lost maybe 0.5 in overall value as his. I mean, he and Eden Hazard had given me the worst total. Just like I was so in the hole those first few weeks. I feel like I'm slowly climbing out of it. It took forever.
You even went back to Eden Hazard, didn't you? At some
just
point
for,
in the
for
season.
A couple weeks, it seemed like he was coming back on. You know,
that's so, a little bit of a backslide there.
I can't even talk about it. Come on, so let's no more Hazard talk, at least not for the moment. So
not for like 15 seconds, as far as I can see.
Yeah, exactly. So a little more balance as we get closer to the top. With 31 votes, 11% of the vote was Memphis Depay. I think in another year he would have been the overall. He would have been the easy first place. 2 goals, 1 assist, 2 bonus points. Has scored like 40 goals in Europe somehow.
Yeah.
Unstoppable in Europe, but has not clicked in the Premier League. And also had a number of kind of boneheaded moves as well this season.
Yeah.
It just kind of seems like it doesn't seem like it's a good fit. I don't like to read too much into, you know, he's a young guy. I don't want to like call him a punk or whatever. I feel like I've seen a lot of really nasty things said about him, but clearly not working this year. And so maybe next year, if there's a new manager, I'm sure there will be, whether it's Mourinho or someone else, they'll be able to bring out a better version of Memphis Depay. You know, I don't want to see a young guy flame out totally.
Yeah, Depay actually got my vote here, and I think if you compare him to other people on this least valuable list, he got my vote simply because I see some guys here that might be able to squeeze some points out before the end of the season. And Depay, I mean, maybe only second to Berahino, looks least likely to score any valuable FPL points for the rest of the season.
I don't know, Brent, because I'm looking at the guy who finished second from the top, the person I voted for, which is Bafétimbi Gomis. He picked up 49 votes, 17% of the total vote, and he has 1 goal and 0 assists in the last 22 game weeks, which is really unreal.
It's pretty harsh considering how he started the season.
Yeah, it's really. I mean, I think he scored 4 goals in the first. Yeah, he scored 1 goal each week in the first 4 game weeks, and everybody brought him in because I think his starting value was 6 or 6.5.
Yeah,
possible to resist. And so very, very frustrating.
He was on for 38 goals, Josh. 38 goals in one season. Perfect, could you imagine?
A perfect season. I could see Ronaldo doing that maybe in the modern Premier League, but not Gomis.
No.
So very frustrating. And you know, more importantly, as someone who Swansea is kind of like my second club. You know, I'm an Arsenal supporter first and foremost. Frustrated Arsenal supporter, especially after today's match. Let's make sure we don't talk about Matthew Flamini at any point today. But yeah, Swansea is such an easy team to love, and I always if basically any game that isn't a Swansea Arsenal game, I'm usually rooting for Swansea to win.
Yeah, well, given that Swans choose partners for life, I find that a little bit strange, but so be it.
Yeah, so be it. And in first place, easily in first, 70% of the vote, 197 total votes, Eden Hazard. Unbelievable, really. What's the most unbelievable one of these stats, Brenna? 1 goal, 3 assists, or 2 bonus points? I mean, 2 bonus points for Eden Hazard?
the one goal for sure. And he is that.
You don't think it's the two bonus points? Because the two bonus points are what really blow me away.
Well, I guess the two bonus points is logical, given how he hasn't done anything to earn bonus points, like score goals or get assists.
But I feel like last season, if Hazard even had an assist in a match, he was on. He's kind of like Ozil this year, you know?
Yeah,
right. He's so involved in the game that all it took was an assist, and he was going to pick up all the bonus points. So the fact that he has, you know, goal and three assists and only two, it's a little surprising.
Yeah, he has definitely been very I found it easier to vote for Depay than Hazard, because if you just look at the Chelsea team and how many problems they've had mm-hmm. through the first two-thirds of the season, Hazard is kind of wrapped up in that, and he hasn't even had any playing time, really, and I guess Depay has neither, but I don't know. I just sort of cast Hazard off at some point in the season into that Chelsea closet.
Yeah, and he did get injured for a while too, but he was so awful that I would have happily voted for all of these players, Brandon. I would have happily seen all of them finish first in least valuable player. But Eden Hazard takes it, 70% of the vote, 197 total votes. Well done to you, or poorly done to you, Eden Hazard. All right, so here we get to one that there's some interesting wisdom of crowds going on here, Brandon. All right, you ready for this one?
Okay.
This is underrated fantasy asset for the final 12 weeks. That's less than 10% ownership through game week 26, which is where we are right now. Okay. So I picked five players who have less than 10% ownership, and five players who were all sort of have some potential to really be a great differential through the rest of the season.
Okay.
All right. So I'm gonna start at the bottom once again. Actually, there's a tie. He actually picked up some votes.
There are a lot of ties in this survey.
Yeah. So tied for 8.7% of the vote. So the fifth and fourth place players are tied. Bronislav Ivanovic and David Silva both picked up 5% of the vote. Ivanovic is selected by 8.7%. Silva is selected by only 4.9%, which is extraordinary.
I think it's just been injury problems, and he's not been producing. I'm not terribly surprised by that.
I'm not surprised given what his season, but just given the kind of player he's been last several years.
We can go back to the whole budget midfielder discussion on how we've lived through two-thirds of a season with unprecedented midfield value.
Absolutely. You just can't pick up a 9 point, whatever his price is right now, when there are so many, you know, someone like Gylfi Sigurdsson is offering you so much more value.
It's been the Walmart of Premier League seasons, basically.
So in third place, let me make sure I've got this right here. In third place is, with 63 votes, is Kasper Schmeichel. He picked up 22% of the votes. Now, I could have loaded this with any number of Leicester players. Schmeichel almost fills in for a Leicester defender because almost all of them have less than 10% ownership. Danny Simpson may have crept above 10%, but, you know, basically a Leicester defender.
Yeah, the Leicester defense just totally snuck up on us because they were having trouble keeping clean sheets for so long, and now they seem to have really solidified back there, and they've shown their value. So I like the vote for Kasper Schmeichel here.
Yeah, I do too, and I think certainly in game week 27, but you know, moving forward, really makes a lot of, you know, if there weren't a midfielder and a forward on Leicester who are both like damn near essential, then you could certainly make a case for having two Leicester defender and Schmeichel. So yep, okay. So on to second place was Christian Eriksen with 77 votes, 27% of the vote. He is selected by 9.6% of managers, which probably would be a little higher if Dele Alli weren't sort of the go-to midfielder on Spurs.
Absolutely, and I would gander that his ownership was probably at least a full percentage less, maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago. I feel like his value is right now going up.
Yeah, that's true. And actually, I'm looking now, since we put the chart up, he's actually up to 9.9%. So he has almost priced himself. He's almost owned himself out of this poll.
he doesn't want to be underrated anymore, Josh.
But has definitely come along in the last few game weeks. 5 goals and 10 assists on the season. 3 goals and 3 assists in the last five matches. So Yeah, definitely a player to watch moving forward. Price isn't crazy, $8.6 million. And as we talked about at the beginning of the podcast, he is a player who is going to be playing in Game Week 27 and in Game Week 30. So definitely an option to look at, especially if you're trying to get rid of, you know, like Ross Barkley or some, you know, if you've got some midfielder who's not going to play in Game Week 27 or 30, he's definitely someone to look at.
And he's Danish.
And he's Dana. He's a Dane. All right. So number one in this vote, and he has this nice, like, kind of pinkish color here, Brandon. Would you call that pink?
It's kind of I would call that. Yeah, I would call it brick, probably.
Brick, but a light brick.
Yeah, like a light brick.
Yeah,
like a red clay.
Like a red clay. Like the kind of thing that Rafael Nadal loves to play on.
like I told you, cheaters, just go to alwayscheating.com to follow the recipe.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So before I get too sidetracked by these colors, first place in the underrated fantasy asset poll with 115 votes, 41% of the vote, only selected by 8.3% of managers is Diego Costa.
Whew, the bastard himself.
Yep. Hard to argue with it, given the way he's played the last few game weeks.
Yeah, absolutely.
Humongous turnaround. And it feels like, I mean, he was almost as bad as Eden Hazard the first 15 weeks of the season, but he didn't quite get the same level of grief that that Hazard received. I mean, probably should have, given that he was started at $11 million this year.
Right. I have been tempted to actually turn Sergio Aguero into Diego Costa, though I was put off in game week 27, Chelsea is away to Southampton, which will not allow anybody to ever score a goal on them again.
Right.
Which kind of put me off. But yeah, the temptation is there. I see value in this underrated asset.
Yeah, I mean, it's like don't look now, but you know, he has 10 goals and 5 assists in the season. And seems like a huge part of the Chelsea resurgence. I mean, it'll be interesting to see if they can actually climb all the way back up and maybe get a you know, I wonder if there's an option, like if they could maybe sneak into one of those Champions League, or not Champions League, but like Europa League spots, maybe.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And he did score in the FA Cup. So there he is. He's keeping that ball rolling.
Keeping the ball rolling.
Quite literally.
Yeah. And his value, I mean, you know, the problem still is that he's so expensive that you can really only turn Wayne Rooney or Aguero, or some, you really need, like, you know, it's hard to have enough money to turn, you know, if you have a line of, you know, Vardy, Agallo, and Kane or something like that, it's hard to find the money to bring in Diego Costa.
Yeah.
But that's also part of what makes him a differential. So there you go.
Okay. What's next, Josh?
All right. Next is overall points. This one we can go by pretty quickly. I have to say, this is not my greatest question of all time, Brandon. just gonna throw this out there.
Okay. All right. Just going through the motions.
Overall,
you're saving some of that heat for the end of the season survey.
That's right. Overall points leader at the end of the season. And this poll is pretty staggering first place. But let's run through them first. So we got 282 responses to this one. Two players got one vote each. That was Romelu Lukaku and Odi Ighalo.
Okay, we have a quorum.
We have a quorum. Other picked up 6 votes, and I'm assuming they're thinking about maybe Harry Kane, possibly Sergio Aguero. A lot of people fall into the other. Literally everyone else falls into the other category. So other picked up 2% of the vote.
Emo Pellegrini maybe falls into that category.
Mesut Ozil, who I think is a possibility. He's 28 points behind Mahrez right now. He's at 156, Mahrez at 184. He picked up only 20 votes and 7% of the vote.
That Arsenal team is going to have to start scoring more goals if he's going to stand any chance.
That's true, but I think if you were trying to make if you're betting, you know, on the overall, you know, if someone gave you odds, mm-hmm. and they said, you know, like, you can take the field, you can take one player versus Mahrez, I think Ozil is the one that I would pick. Him or the guy who finished second in the poll, which is Jamie Vardy, 36 votes, 13% of the total vote. And like you said earlier, now that he's on penalties, definitely has a shot to overtake Mahrez. He's 21 points behind him. So really,
I cast my vote for Jamie Vardy.
Yeah, 21 points I think I may have as well, actually, despite what I just said about Mesut Ozil. I think that, yeah, I mean, 12 weeks to go, 20 points is not that much. I mean, all it takes is one game where he has, you know, 13 points and Mahrez has 2, and suddenly he's right there. So Yeah, I think, you know, but all that said, first place with 218 votes, clear favorite, 21 points above everyone else. 77% of the total vote is Riyad Mahrez.
Whew, he's like the Taylor Swift of this survey. He's bringing in all the awards.
Yeah, just a crazy dominant player, and it's justly deserved, Brennan.
Indeed it is. We won't take anything away from this man's accomplishments.
Bravo to the little Algerian. This next one was one of the closer votes that we had. Do you want to do one, Brennan?
Oh, yeah, off? Yeah. Hand over the reins. Okay. So the next question on our survey was for a player who has the best value. And our how we quantified that was a starting price of 5.0 or lower. So the votes were cast, and in last place is Scott Dan, our favorite Crystal Palace defender. He received 3 votes for 1% of the vote. Scott Dan, he had a 5.0 starting price. He's coming into this poll with 5 goals, 1 assist, 6 clean sheets, and a large number of bonus points here with 11. So there he is with 3 votes. And then
in another year, I think Dan could have scored higher.
Yeah, it's true. And that Crystal Palace team is just tanking.
You know, the interesting thing, Brandon, just on a side note, when I put this poll together, I was actually going to start at 5.5 or lower.
Okay.
But Riyad Mahrez, if you may recall, started at 5.5 this season. I just felt like it is incredible. And I feel like if I put him in the poll, he would destroy it. So I bumped it down to 5.0. And there's still a ton of great options.
And again, going back to how we were saying this is the Walmart season, it's really fun that we're able to find so many 5.0 players that are having this big impact on the FPL season.
Agreed.
Okay, so speaking of fun, here's another defender for you, Charlie Daniels, with the fourth least votes.
He finished in fourth.
He finished in fourth place.
Finished fourth in the voting.
Yeah, Charlie Daniels. He's got four. He started at 4.5 for Bournemouth, and he scores 2 goals, 5 assists, 5 clean sheets, and then 15 bonus points.
He may have been hurt by missing a penalty right after this poll went up.
Yes.
When Bournemouth played Everton on Saturday, and it was 0-0 in the first half, and penalty Bournemouth, really bad play by James McCarthy, and it really just like a handball that never should have happened. And Daniel's penalty was saved.
And his ownership has gone to 0%.
That's right.
There he goes.
Third place.
So in third place, this is a heavily defensive survey question here. In third place, Jack Butland. He started for Stoke at 4.5. He kind of came out of nowhere as a goalkeeper.
Well, I think it was because, you know, Begovic moved in the offseason.
That's true. He went over to Chelsea, and then there Butland was.
Mm-hmm. And Butland was sort of kind of a rising star in the England youth game. And so he was someone that I think it was finally time to give him a spot. I think it was Brom's thing, or was Stoke's thinking.
And our listeners gave him third position with 16 of their votes. That's 6% of the total vote. And that's Jack Butland. He's got 9 clean sheets, 1 assist for the goalkeeper, and 12 bonus points in total. Well done, Mr. Butland.
Mm-hmm. All right, and then it gets pretty tight at the top here.
Yeah, very tight at the top. It was close between first and second. And again, I ended up casting my lot with second place. It's our favorite Spurs starlet, Dele Alli. Started this season at 5.0. And he has since scored 7 goals, 8 assists, and 13 bonus points. He's just tearing it up. I mean, that's basically all could be placed in the 2/3 stretch of the season.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got 109 votes, 39% of the total vote for best value. And then in first place, it is that man for Watford, Adeyemi Ighalo. He started the game at 5.0, and he's since scored 15 goals, 6 assists, and a whopping 25 bonus points. He got more than half the vote, 52%. So well done, Adeyemi Ighalo.
Well done indeed. No big surprise there, I would say. Adeyemi Ighalo, great season, slightly underrated still, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, he gets overshadowed by the likes of Dele Alli, but the fact that Ighalo has been doing it through the entire season, I mean, I guess he has had, 6 blanks over the last 7 game weeks, which so his value is kind of deteriorating, but he's been doing it all season for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, 15 goals as a 5 million defender in 26 game weeks is absolutely fantastic.
A 5 million striker, you mean?
Or as a 5 million striker, of course. Yeah. That'd be amazing. If it was a 5 million defender, he would be the most owned player. He would be owned by like 99% of managers.
Absolutely.
All right. So this is one of my favorite questions, Brandon. Possibly my favorite question because it is so utterly subjective. It is the apples to apples of questions.
Uh-huh.
It is the manager most likely to ruin your FPL season. Now this is open to interpretation.
Yeah.
Okay. To me,
how did you take it?
I took it as – I suppose I had Roberto Martinez in mind when I did this because there's just something about certain managers who just don't get their teams ready to play. You know, okay. They're just not – there's no consistency. They don't – you know, I mean, I know the players are responsible to a significant degree as well. But certain managers – so either they don't get the players ready to play, or when you have players and they're playing a team coached by this person, they ruin your season by coming through. And, you know, it's like Sam Allardyce. It's sort of the other end of this spectrum where he is he's a manager who can be very frustrating if you're a fantasy owner because he'll just like he'll gear his team around shutting down Sergio Aguero and actually pull it off in a match. So open to interpretation. But all that said, let's run through the answers here. In fifth place is actually the coach I ended up actually voting for. I was thinking about Roberto Martinez, but I cast it for somebody else in the end. Alan Pardew, mostly because that team is just. They really got everyone so excited for a while there. Everyone was picking up defenders and looking at their midfielders and
Joel Ward was the secret to my success early on in the season.
Exactly. So he picked up 24 votes, 9% of the total vote. Fourth place is Sam Allardyce, another tempting option, with 35 votes, 13% of the vote. Tony Pulis, another one on your sort of end of your way.
Yeah, and I voted for Pulis, and I think I was still smarting from my captaining Romelu Lukaku and Pulis telling Jonas Olsen to basically be Lukaku's cape during that entire game.
Yeah, very effective. In second place was the man the award was created for, Roberto Martinez, 73 votes, 26% of the vote. You never know what you're getting with Roberto Martinez. For better or worse, they will win. They will destroy Stoke City on the road and then lose 1-0 at home to West Brom team that was missing like 5 defenders. You really have no idea what you're getting with him. And of course, somehow they're through to the quarterfinals of the FA Cup. And in first, and this is a great one. He made actually a little bit of a comeback. I think he was in third or fourth early on in the voting. Louis van Gaal with 99 votes, 36% of the vote, is the manager most likely to ruin or have. I really should have said has already ruined your FPL season because so many managers brought in Rooney, brought in Juan Mata. Brought in a Man U defender, and it has just all gone to total hell.
It has been ruinous. I mean, the poor man. It just seems like everything's just passed him by, and I hope he enjoys his retirement after this season.
I hope
deserve
he does.
It, LVG.
Yeah, this award's for you, LVG. Congratulations.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so brings us to the next one, which is more of a blowout than I was expecting.
I'm good with blowouts, Josh. Let me do this one.
Okay, you do this one. All right.
Okay, so what we have here is disappointing player most likely to make a comeback in the final third of the season. So what we're asking here is which player has disappointed through the first two-thirds of the season but will yet make a comeback and have a great final third?
Right.
Does that make sense to you, Josh?
Does to me. Yep.
Do you remember how you voted?
Yes, I do remember how I voted, and I voted for.
You voted. Tell me when we get there.
Okay, I'm actually trying to remember who I voted for, and yeah, I think I voted for the overall winner. So I'll just say that much.
All right. So in last place, Memphis Depay, a place he's used to sitting in, he had eight 8 votes, 3% of the vote.
Unless it's the least valuable player award, he's used to sitting at the bottom.
Yeah. Hey, Memphis, if you're listening, is there any way we can twist the knife a little bit more? Just find us on Twitter or at Hail Cheaters. All right, so that's 8 votes for Memphis Depay. And in fourth place with 13 votes, it's Theo Walcott. That's 5% of the total vote. So our faith is creeping up for Mr. Walcott. And then here's a little bit of a surprise. Pedro, our old Barcelona friend now playing at Chelsea, he's got 28 votes. Mm-hmm. He looked very, very good in that smashing Newcastle.
Yeah, 5-1 Newcastle win.
So yeah, Pedro, 28 votes, 10% overall. I could see him making a difference as that Chelsea team ascends. Speaking of Chelsea, in second place, it's Eden Hazard with 37 votes. That's 13% of the vote. Now, it looks like Hazard, he's going to be getting more playing time. And then in first place, it's Alexis Sanchez with 194 votes. That's a whopping 69% of the overall vote. So I think we're all in agreement here. And the man is a blockbuster FPL player. He's been pretty silent as of late, but we apparently all have faith that he's going to explode sooner or later.
Yeah, frustrating season to be sure for Mr. Sanchez. Injuries and kind of teasing us with some huge results in the first few game weeks. So, but we know he has it in him, and did not show it again today. I gotta say. If you're an Arsenal fan, it was a dispiriting day today, because it was a reminder that even though they might win the league this year, they still have a long way to go before they're, you know, top in Europe. But I guess we kind of knew that already, didn't we?
Yeah, we all knew that.
Yeah,
not a surprise.
All right, so let's move on to the teams most likely to be relegated. So this is a non-fantasy question, but just one I was curious about to see what people thought. You had to pick three. So the team – so of these five, I just picked the teams that were in 16 through 20th. So they're,
okay.
The teams above them, I think all of them are probably fine. West Brom, Chelsea, I can't see any of those teams actually going down this year. So you know, whatever. It's my poll. These are the teams I picked. From this poll, the fifth least likely, so the team that is least likely to be relegated is Swansea, which picked up 38% of the vote, 13%. The second...
That's some 38 people out there. I really hate Swansea. I'm kind of surprised at that.
Yeah, they're not that far off the drop. You know, Bournemouth could have been in here, too. I'm a little worried about Bournemouth, but they're not in this poll.
Uh-huh.
With 121 votes, 43% of the people participating selected Newcastle. So
now this surprises me even more than the 38 people who voted for Swansea. I could see Newcastle going down ahead of the team you're about to speak of next.
So in third place, so the team that is the third most likely to be relegated, according to the voters, is Sunderland.
Man, Sunderland. Okay, I mean, I guess it's basically a toss up, right? Between it's going to be Newcastle or Sunderland. I think so.
I can still envision, just because it seems like Newcastle and Sunderland can, like, they always find a way to avoid the drop. So yeah. You know, they'll probably do it again, and Bournemouth will go down, and everyone will be depressed about it. But I think you're probably right. One of those two teams should be going down this year.
Yeah.
The two teams in 19th, the teams that finished first and second in this poll, who are also bottom of the league right now, are Norwich, or down there at the bottom at least. Norwich with 236 votes, 83% of the people voting picked them. And Aston Villa with 279 votes, 99% of the people voting picked Aston Villa as the team most likely to be relegated this season. It makes a lot of sense. They're quite a few points back. There is nothing to like about that team. And there isn't. I mean, even the young players, the Jack Grealishes, have been disappointing. I mean, I know that there are a lot of Aston Villa fans out there, but this has just been a brutal season.
There are.
You're one of them, Brandon.
I almost adopted Villa as my next Premier League club after Fulham got relegated. But Paul Lambert just ultimately put me off that team last season.
Yeah.
I am okay. So who are you people out there, Hail Cheaters? There are four of you, I count, who answered this question and didn't vote for Aston Villa to get the drop. You guys are just being smart, aren't you?
They've got to be Villa fans.
Yeah. Or they just assumed that they were going down and decided to cast their votes for other people. Hate votes.
Yeah, that very well could be. All right. So now the final four questions. We'll run through them kind of quickly, mostly because we're going a little longer here than I meant to.
Right. So basically the last four, it's basically what chips do you have left?
The chip questions, exactly. So, all right, first question. Have you used your bench boost? We had 282 responses. 55 people said yes, they have. That's 20%. 80% of the people who voted said no, they haven't. So 80% of people who have voted still have a bench boost left to play. Does that surprise you at all?
I suppose it does. I mean, bench boost... Yeah, I guess it surprises me.
I played a head-to-head against somebody earlier this season, and they had a bench boost active. And it didn't really seem like it made a lot of sense. I think like one of their players was like on a red card or something. So I think the bench boost is a weird...
They people talk about playing a bench boost during a double game week, but I don't know if I fully get the logic there, because the odds of you like stacking your bench with guys who have two fixtures, you're going to be loading up all your guys with double game weeks in your starting 11.
It's kind of a tricky one, isn't it? There will come a time, one would think, where the bench boost will be used. And maybe next season. I think this first season with these chips, it's hard to really know when to use them. I mean, you know, the triple captain is the most obvious one, but the bench boost could really come in handy for double game week too. So we shall see.
It's the Kenny Rogers effect.
Yeah.
You know, no one to play your chip and no one to not play your chip.
In a reverse, this is the only one of the answers where more people have used their chip than not used their chip. We asked, have you used your all-out attack? The yeses, so yes, I've used my all-out attack, were 185. That was 65% of the vote. No was 98. That was 35% of the vote. So almost two-thirds of people responded have actually used their all-out attack. That includes you.
It does include me. I used my all-out attack with Ozil in my midfield game week where he didn't even play. And I think that's probably the story that a lot of people out there who played their all-out attack would say.
Yeah,
it's a crummy chip.
Yeah, write to us on Twitter or on Facebook if you've successfully used, if you were the only manager so far to successfully use an all-out attack chip. Please write to us and let us know, you know, how it worked out for you.
Yeah.
All right. Have you used your? This is the big one. Have you used your triple captain? 282 responses. 31 said yes. 251 said no. So 89% of the people who responded have not used their triple captains yet. And this triple captain thing could be insane. Like if you and especially if it's not a clear cut time to use it. I mean, you know, if it you know ends up happening that Sergio Aguero, you know, has a double game week and he's playing, you know, Norwich and, you know, Newcastle back to back or something like that. You know, we're all going to use it. But, you know, if someone's really creative and uses their, you know, it's a double game week and they pick, you know, Daniel Sturridge or something for their triple captain and, you know, he scores 5 goals and 3 assists or something like that. I mean, it could really change a lot of league. I mean, really, I'm really fascinated to see what this looks like by the end of the season.
Yeah, we had somebody reach out to us on Twitter just the other day who was saying they were thinking of putting the triple captain on Piatt this weekend against Sunderland.
I think you saw me write to him. I told him to.
You talked him down off that cliff.
Exactly.
I'm just thrilled to see how disciplined our listeners are, that we've all more or less held on to our triple captain chip.
I agree. It's going to be sad to get rid of it. It's sort of like sitting there like... It's like you haven't totally given up on your season as long as you still haven't used your triple captain chip. You know, once you use that, there's no going back. Yeah, there's that story about how you know, only 100 people bought the first Velvet Underground album, but you know, all of them went on to form successful bands or something like that. There's some Brian Eno line about that. It's like only 8 people in the world triple captained Sergio Aguero when he scored 5 goals against Newcastle in Game Week 8, but all of them were on Twitter that day screenshotting it and sharing it with everybody.
Yeah, it's like, I gotta love social media. Makes me feel really great about myself.
Yeah.
Now, I'm treating my triple captain much like a really nice beer that somebody told me about. And I bought it, and it's been in my refrigerator, just been waiting for that special moment.
I like that.
I really hope I like this beer.
I wish I had a beer right now. I might have to start bringing beers with me for these podcasts.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Though we drone on for so long, we might just be flat out drunk by the time we're done with these episodes.
That is true. The final question in the poll, have you used your second half wild card? 30% have said yes, and 70% have said no. That's 199 people out of 283 who have not used their second half wild card. So again, tons of wild cards left to play.
Yeah.
I think this is, given the number of responses and the kind of people who would take the time to take this poll, it's pretty indicative, I think, of how many serious managers still have not used their second half wild card.
Haven't had a reason to play it.
No, I haven't either. I mean, you'd think I would on one level because my team is, it's been so bad. But, once you do it, there's nowhere else to go, Yeah. And had there been earlier double game weeks, I almost certainly would have used my wild card by now. But, the way it's worked out just hasn't really helped me. I didn't think I'd lose quite so many head-to-heads with you over the last few game weeks.
I think it's that Aguero came into play sort of like right around the time the wild cards were being redistributed, that people were finding ways to rework their team to get Aguero in without playing the wild card. Yeah. And it's going to take either a double game week going in or out of, or a player like a must-have expensive player like Sanchez heating up for us to start deploying them, right?
Yeah, and we're getting close. I mean, certainly we're getting close to some double game weeks too. And, I think it'll hopefully we'll find out more information in the next couple of weeks about double game weeks. And, we still don't really know that much, I mean, it's really up in the air. And so, there's some speculation, but it's, not anything. We don't indulge in speculation in this podcast, do we, Brendan? That's not who we are.
No comment.
All right. So, that's your lot. And, you can find all of the polls, all the responses, all these beautiful pie charts on alwayscheating.com.
Yeah, fantastic. We're going to post it just as soon as we post this podcast, so they should be up there as you're listening.
Yeah, we'll share it on Facebook and Reddit, too. I know that we got a nice response on Reddit, and thank you for anybody who voted in the poll from there.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you guys so much. It's just fun to see who's thinking what, and if I'm thinking what you're thinking, if I'm as smart as you are.
That's right. Me? No chance.
Speaking of finding out what people are thinking, Josh, we have some questions on this episode that we received from the internet.
That's right. All right. Just a few questions. We kept it a little lower on the question because I knew we were going to go a little long with the poll. So let's jump right into them. Let's try to give all of these questions a quick, like 30 seconds or less response. All right,
Brian, all right. My hot take machine is ready.
All right. First question from our friend Suraj Garish. Hope it's okay for us to call him our friend. He's written enough questions to us that we're friendly with him, if nothing else.
I would consider Suraj a friend.
A dear friend?
Close friend. Close personal friend.
Close personal friend. He says, will you be starting your Southampton defenders this game week? Quick answer, yes, I will. Follow up to that, I have no choice.
Yeah. No, for me, actually, Van Dijk is on the bench.
Wow.
And I do plan to play four in the back, and I've got Cresswell, Dyer, Aspilicueta, and Huth. And me bringing in a Chelsea defender in the last game week, I think, helped me solidify the back line for this game week. So I do have a choice, and I'm choosing not to.
Yeah, that's a tricky one. I think I would probably pick the same four that you did, although it's very hard to bench a Southampton defender given that they're on a 35 consecutive match clean sheet run or whatever.
It is. It's inconceivable. I guess I'll secretly be rooting for them to keep that going because, I mean, we've sung the praises of Southampton so many times on this pod. I wouldn't want to deny them that great pleasure.
Yeah, but I do understand your reasoning. All right, Tom Butcher asks, and I actually think this is a very – I think he actually asked us this question last week, but I think he's really sweating it out, so we'll allow it 2 weeks in a row. He says, I have Simpson banned for the Plum home Norwich game. Is it worth a -4 to get Fuchs in? The alternative is to play Ashley Williams at Spurs. I do not think it's worth -4 to bring in a defender, just as a general rule. I know that Norwich it just they're just all it takes is one breakaway. All it takes is one moment, or even one yellow card.
Get in my DeLorean with me, Josh, and let me take you back to me watching Manchester United v Sunderland in game week 26. And within the first 3 minutes, De Gea lets in such a corny free kick. And there goes my clean sheet. Gone. Yeah. Poof. Yeah. And that can happen to the best defenses. And if you're burning 4 points and that happens, you're going to be kicking yourself. I agree. Just risk it with Williams.
Exactly. And then you have Simpson back. So, you know, if you didn't have a Leicester defender, I think you could argue that it was worth it for the long term advantage of having one. But because he already has one, I think it's just hold it and just, you know, maybe, I mean, because Williams he can score, can head a goal in or something like that. Or, you know, I mean, crazier things have happened. You know, it could only be a 2-pointer. I mean, you know, if all he gets is a 2-pointer, and even if you get a clean sheet from Fuchs, it's like the best case scenario is it doesn't cost you points.
Hey, and if Crystal Palace can keep a clean sheet against Spurs, a fully stacked Spurs in the FA Cup, I mean, that makes the Swansea chances a little bit more compelling.
Exactly. Graham McDonald asks, any thoughts on when to best play our chips? Suspect most people still have all three plus a wild card to use up. Now, Graham, you've just heard the answer to all of this, and time's running out. You know, I think that we'll just have to kind of shelve this one until we know more about the double game weeks, because that's really what the chips to me are all about, being used during the double game weeks. I think the ideal scenario is to wild card. You can't wild card, and you can't use two chips the same week. The wild card is now considered a chip, so you can't use a wild card and play a bench boost or triple captain the same game week. So if you're planning to you know, if you want to load up on players for double game weeks, the wild card, you want to actually use it the week before, and then you can use the triple captain chip or the all out attack the next week.
So that's my short answer. If you include the wild card, you could have as many as 4 chips, and we now have 11 game weeks left to go.
Yeah,
it's getting to the point where it's like a use them or lose them sort of situation.
A little bit. It's frustrating that the double game weeks are coming so late. Yeah. But I still don't think it's time to use them.
Yeah, I totally agree. We have to wait for the confirmations of the double game weeks.
If it comes to pass that you have like 3 players for game week 30 and you're going to burn like minus 12, then yeah, I think the wild card is probably worth using, because you could stash a bunch of double game week guys on your bench, you know. So,
and then you bench boost.
Yeah, exactly. It's very true. Well, I just mean like the kind of players who are going to be not playing a game week 30 are going to be double game week players later.
Right.
So, you know, it's kind of tricky. All right. So final question is Dave from Burnley, who said, pod question, is Agallo a busted flush, or is he worth a temporary buy, such as selling Aguero for Iggy home to Bournemouth?
Well, see, Agallo, as we mentioned a couple minutes ago, he's gone. He's blanked in 6 of the last 7 games. So it's hard to say if he's running out of a little steam. And Troy Deeney on that Watford team is having a little bit more fun than Agallo right now. And if I were to be punting on that Watford team, I'd be all over Deeney.
That is an underrated fixture, the Watford at home to Bournemouth. I haven't heard a lot of people talk about that. Maybe because this is a game week that's very skewed towards the home team, I would say, in general, except for maybe Arsenal, Man United. Yeah, I think you're right. Maybe if you're really looking for a differential, I think that Deeney is probably the way to go over Agallo.
But if you look at the fixtures after Bournemouth, you're away to Manchester United, hosting Leicester City, and then you blank in game week 30. So if you do it, it really has to be maybe a one-and-done sort of transfer.
Yeah, probably not worth taking out Aguero for. This long term, it's going to create more problems than it's going to solve for this one game week.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it.
All right, Brandon, time for the, thank you for the questions, everybody. Time for the, that was awkward.
That was awkward.
Thanks everyone for the questions. Now, Brandon, it is time for the optimizer. Are you
Fantastic.
Ready?
Fantastic. Let's strap in. Let's get ourselves ready. I mean, it been a while. Let us optimize our squads.
Shorter optimizer than usual. We only have 8 game weeks because we have 4 teams are not playing. Those teams are off the top of my head.
Those teams, Josh, I can tell you, Everton, Liverpool, Manchester City, and Newcastle. Okay. So I can point to one of those teams as not really playing a significant role in our plans. being Newcastle. I think a lot of us have already shed our Everton assets by now. At least I have. Lukaku was swapped out for Vardy right as soon as we closed on game week 26.
Yeah, I think I'll be keeping Barkley on the bench. It's very frustrating. He seems to be scoring a lot of goals everywhere, but in the league. But I think he is definitely worth having because I think they're home to Aston Villa.
They're actually away to Villa the following week. Then they host West Ham. But then they blank again in game week 30. So does Barkley survive game week 30 for you too?
I don't think he survives game week 30, but I think he survives till this Aston Villa away fixture. I think I think we're all pretty excited about Aston Villa fixtures at this point. It's right up there with Norwich.
For sure. All right, so what's our first fixture of the shortened game week 27?
Okay, first fixture is the early morning fixture. It's West Ham hosting Sunderland, the Dimitri Payet match. I mean, this guy I could see him going for two goals and an assist in this match.
Yeah, I mean, the temptation is there to captain, but we've got two great striker matchups with Kane and Vardy, who are also vying for the armband.
Are you feeling any frustration as a Cresswell owner with the fact that he hasn't really you got that first week it worked out well, but hasn't really, I don't know. Does the West Ham have a kind of a knack for conceding goals?
Yes, I am incredibly frustrated. Since I bought him, it's been 1-1-9, which was great, getting three bonus points on a clean sheet, then 2-1. So yes, I'm massively frustrated, and because West Ham is blanking in game week 30, Cresswell's time is limited. So it's sort of one of those things where he's been diagnosed with a terminal illness and he needs to start scratching things off of his bucket list ASAP. I hope scoring a goal against Sunderland is on that bucket list.
Yeah, I do think that West Ham won this match. I think that Sunderland will score, especially the way Jermaine Defoe has been playing. So I'm going to go West Ham 3, Sunderland 1 with Dimitri Payet as my FPL player to watch.
Yeah, I think Sunderland scores, but I think Cresswell also scores. So that's where I make up my ground.
Okay. Leicester Norwich, the game that everyone will be watching anxiously. Either they've captained Dimitri Payet like me and he is blanked and they are terrified for this match to be over, or they have captained Vardy they've captained Vardy or Mahrez and they are ready for the points to come rolling in. I'm not actually sure I have the guts to captain a non-Leicester player in this match. I think there's an argument for captaining Mahrez. I mean, I mean, with Mahrez's pace, I could see him absolutely slicing up the fullbacks on Norwich, and so I think that you could make a strong case for either one. But I think the fact that Vardy's on penalties is just enough to tilt it towards him. This to me is like I'm going to say a 4-0 Leicester win. It's hard to say in some ways because they haven't played for 2 weeks. You know, they might be a little rusty at first.
Yeah, the argument goes both ways. Either Leicester is incredibly fresh and they come out and demolish them, much like how they looked in game week 1 of the season. They look like a team reborn, which they obviously were. Or they're just a little slow out of the gate because they've had their feet up and they've been drinking pina coladas for the last week. I think Ranieri gave them an entire week off with no training. So, I mean, I'm not a professional athlete. I don't really know how that impacts your...
Oh, don't sell yourself short. All right, so who is your what do you think the final score is, and who's your fantasy player to watch for this one?
Robert Huth in the defense. He keeps scoring. Mm-hmm. My Care Bear, my big cuddly Care Bear. Uh-huh. But I've got the armband on Vardy right now.
Okay, yeah,
he's my man.
What do you think the final score will be, just roughly?
Or exactly 3-0. 3-0 Leicester.
Yep. Okay, Southampton Chelsea, interesting match.
Yeah, very interesting.
A team that's scoring at will versus a team that is not letting anybody score. It's the unstoppable force, Brandon, versus the immovable object.
God, when you put it that way, it's so interesting. It's so philosophical. I think this game could be perhaps low scoring, to put it bluntly.
Yeah, I think this could be like a 1-0 Southampton match. I think Virgil van Dijk finally scores his goal, the goal that he's been teasing us with, Brandon. You and I both yeah. own him for 10 weeks, not longer, maybe 15 weeks.
I know we're owed. I mean, we're fans, and we've like invested in Van Dijk's Kickstarter project, and he owes us a free gift. He
kind of does. So I'm going to go 1-0 Van Dijk.
No, this is going to be a 1-1 draw, and no fantasy manager is going to be happy with anything that comes out of this game.
It's gonna be like John Obi Mikel goal
and a Romeo goal. Yeah, exactly.
All right, Stoke Aston Villa. Which Stoke is going to show up? How bad will Aston Villa be? There's a chance that Micah Richards may be starting for me in this match.
That's interesting.
I might have to go with my two blocks of four FPL lineup.
We were talking last week about a Stoke midfielder. Take your pick of the starting, if you can guarantee who's going to start in this squad right now, would be a great differential.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I'd be more interested in this matchup if I owned any players on Stoke, but I sold Glenn Johnson, and I'm plumb out of Stoke players.
Yeah. The question for me is whether I start Jack Butland or Peter Schmeichel. I kind of love both my keepers in this match.
Yeah, you also love referring to Kasper Schmeichel as his famous father, Peter Schmeichel.
I do. Did I just call him Peter, or did I call him Kasper?
You did.
Well, Kasper is a strange name. You know,
it's a weird one. It doesn't really stick in your mind.
It's not like George. Good, solid American
George
name.
George Schmeichel. George Schmeichel sounds like a guy you live next to on the Upper West Side.
It kind of does, actually. I think that Aston Villa, because they were so humiliated in that match, will come out looking a lot stronger, a lot tighter in this match. It's a tricky one for them because they really can't play for draws, they have to play for wins.
Yeah.
But I don't think a win will happen here. I think 1-1 will be the final score. I think it'll be a frustrating match for Stoke, and I think Aston Villa will scratch out a point.
Yeah, I can see that happening, but ultimately I think Charlie Adam will come on the 72nd minute and really change things, and it'll be a 2-1 victory for Stoke.
Okay. Hey, we're just guessing anyway, right?
No, I know that for a fact Charlie Adam is coming on in the 72nd minute and will score a goal. Moving on. Watford, Bournemouth.
We need to start putting these predictions up on like Facebook or something.
Yeah. I will have forgotten about that prediction by the time we record the next episode.
The match I referred to earlier is underrated, Watford, Bournemouth. Bournemouth, I'm a little worried about right now, Brandon. I got to say, it's probably for the best that they did not win in the FA Cup. I don't think they needed to be fighting on two fronts down the stretch. Their survival is what it's all about for them right now. They're looking okay. I mean, they're a few points above the drop, but I am definitely a little worried about them. And I do not like them in this match. I think Watford will probably win pretty easily, something like 2-0. And Troy Deeney, as you suggested earlier, is my man to watch in this match.
Yeah, I agree. I would not want to be starting Charlie Daniels in my squad this week. I think Watford's good for at least a goal, probably two. I'll be rooting for Bournemouth like you. I want to see both of these teams do well. They've been great promoted squads. They've been wonderful.
Maybe they can both win.
Yeah, I think it'll be it'll be a win for both sides, just morally anyway. Yeah,
3-2 both teams.
If this game is played at the Liberty Stadium, then maybe I'd give Bournemouth a chance. But, honestly, away, I don't see it happening for them.
Yeah, I think I agree with you there. West Brom, Crystal Palace, not the most exciting of Saturday afternoon fixtures, Brandon.
Yeah, this is a rough one.
Let's just move on.
Yeah. Here's exciting news. Wayne Hennessy will get a run out in my squad for the first time in who knows how long.
That's true. The De Gea may start in the Europa League, so you might be in the clear, although I'm not sure you'd even want to. I guess you probably start De Gea regardless, right?
Yeah, I had, even when De Gea was healthy, I had him on my bench because United, which we'll get to in just a second, against Arsenal, that's a tough one.
It is. West Brom, Crystal Palace, let's just say 0-0.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't want to talk about that match. That's boring.
Portugal's
kind of sneakily into the quarterfinals, the FA Cup.
Yeah, I mean, of course they get another goal from a defender in the FA Cup, but now they actually have Adebayor, who can apparently score goals still.
Yeah, and they play Reading in the quarterfinals, so they have a very good chance of making it to Wembley for the semis.
Yeah, Pardew's road to Wembley, be it through the England national team or through Crystal Palace, it's still on.
I feel like if I'm a Crystal Palace fan, I'm kind of pulling for that, right? I mean, there's no way they're going down this year. They've got 45 points already or something like that.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, play for the FA Cup, like play for the glory. So I think, nil-nil. Let's just go with that.
It could be any scoreline, but for the fans, it'll be a nil-nil.
Sunday fixtures, only two of them fixtures. First one is Manchester United of Manchester City.
I have heard of this team.
Versus Arsenal United of London FC.
Ah, London Town. I have heard of this team as
sleepy,
well.
Sleepy, foggy London Town.
Yeah, this will be an interesting game. United will be without Rooney. You know, they're coming off the hammering of poor old Shrewsbury Town, but you know, that doesn't really tell us anything. I think Arsenal will be looking to destroy something beautiful after their humiliation against Barcelona.
Yeah, and apparently there's even more injuries in the back line for Man United right now. And my boy Jesse Lingard might be hurt, though. So,
oh, no. What happened to him?
I can't remember. I think he hurt his – something's injured. So, you know, we'll see. It's
something got knocked at some point.
Yeah, so that punt I made on Lingard is really just continues to backfire more and more every day. So, yeah, tricky one to predict, I will say, just because Man United is home. I don't know that I feel great about Arsenal's chances in this game, just given the kind of swoon they're in at the moment.
They just can't score goals like they want to. They haven't had a high-flying game in a while.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I know we're all very surprised that Arsenal's strategy of not buying forwards has hurt them. You know, like one of the richest clubs in the world doesn't have any strikers. Except for Olivier Giroud, who doesn't score anymore. He just heads the ball down for wingers to score on.
He's the human backboard. He's made of plexiglass, this guy.
Yeah. So a 1-1 draw is my prediction. And fantasy player to watch, it's hard to say. I mean, if Lingard weren't injured, if Lingard plays, then Lingard scores. That's what I say.
Well, I mean, all of us out there who own and enjoy owning Mesut Ozil, this could be a fun game. For him, if indeed United shows up with a soft defense, Ozil could be on for a big game week.
That's possible.
I'm predicting an Arsenal win. They really have to win, given that Leicester has an easy fixture at home to Norwich, just to keep pace.
Yeah, that's true. This is arguably their toughest remaining fixture. So I guess they still play Man City one more time too.
Yeah. I guess it is a little strong to say it's a must win for them. But they will come out looking for blood.
Final fixture, Spurs-Swansea. Lots of interesting caption options here. Even Captain Dele Alli is kind of a cool idea, just to mix it up a little bit. I think I would think about captaining a Spurs player, especially if neither Alli or Kane, like if both of them play like 90 minutes or if it goes to extra time in their Europa League match on Thursday, then I might be less inclined to pick one of those players. But certainly it makes sense to load up on Spurs.
Right. Classic Europa League hangover. I feel like Spurs experience that hangover one game week and then they don't the next. So it's a little difficult to call. They're home to Fiorentina, so I guess that does suppress some of the fears I have. But still, that's enough to make me not want to captain a Spurs player.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, just it's so like so much evidence of the Europa League hangover. So, yeah, you could be right there.
Right now I have my vice captaincy on Kane. I think, okay, so the optimizer. All right, you everybody listening, you might think that we're just doing this for you. I'm optimizing mostly for myself. So while we're doing this, I'm actually switching the vice captaincy from Kane to Payet. I'm doing.
Okay, and I'm predicting a 2-0 Spurs win with a goal and an assist from Dele Alli. I think it's a big Dele Alli game.
I want to end this podcast with us agreeing, so I will go with you on that prediction.
All right, excellent. Well, I think we've done it, Brandon.
Yeah, we have. Good. We did it. Yet another episode in the can.
thank you for listening, everybody.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Yeah, and if you have any questions about our polls, or if you want to share some stories about why you refuse to cast a vote for Romelu Lukaku in our in our survey, do hit us up. We're on Twitter at Hail Cheaters. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/alwayscheating. And again, you can find our survey results, or our sorry, Josh, our awards winners. Yep. On alwayscheating.com.
You got it. All right, Brandon, well, I will talk to you soon.
All right, hail cheaters.
Yep, and hail Poku.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.